Alright, hi to the Kraz members, and I'm plugging in here on Sunday night, the 1st of January 2023. Can you believe it? Yes, we continue forward. Good to be on deck with the members. I hope you guys are doing fine. You're having a great Christmas and New Year's time. Staying safe. That came quick, eh? Anyway, I'm plugging in for the Night Watch podcast with Adam, of course. A couple of things to cover, why not? As we move into another year, thanks so much to the members for your ongoing support. It's great to have you guys here. And you guys help me so much to keep going and keep the website up and running and protected and paid for. It is awesome. You guys are great. There's a members area. Get in there. Have a look. Keep active on the website. Email me anytime, of course. Send me any links or anything you might want me to cover. I've got bunches to go through. I can't do it all now. I'll just keep saving what I have. There's going to be an absolute overload of information coming up, I tell you, as this whole thing intensifies. KrazFiles.com is where everything is, of course, and another year of Kraz Files 2023. Been going since 2015, folks, doing the Kraz Files project, so isn't that awesome? Great to still be here with you guys, and as I said, I hope you're having a great Christmas and New Year's Eve time. Last night was pretty dismal, really looking at Sydney. It's a funny old game, isn't it? You know, like, I don't want to seem like some kind of Scrooge or anything like that, you know, or anything. I just, the fireworks are kind of baffle me a little bit now. Anyway, we just took our little one to the local ones at 9 o'clock, just local council ones, and yeah, they're pretty spectacular. These people setting up down there since dawn on the beach, you know, with this gazebo city going on, you know, it's like a gazebo city, setting up there since dawn or whatever in the morning, all day with families and friends and kids. And all of this, tables and tables of food and buckets and things and eskies and stuff all day. They're down there till 9 o'clock to watch 15 minutes of Crackers in the Sky, you know, and then it's this huge cleanup. It's amazing. People baffle me what they'll go through to watch some Crackers in the Sky, you know. None of them will turn up in any great numbers to defend their rights and personal freedoms and health freedoms and their country, you know. They won't do anything to help us here, but they won't go to the protests, they won't get involved with anything that we're doing here to defend our lives, our children, our country from these communist parasites. But they'll set up at dawn in the morning all day with these kids screaming and people walking on the top of them in the heat with these gazebos all day from the start of the day till 9 o'clock at night to watch 15 minutes of these Crackers in the Sky. And then there's just not one parking spot in this entire area, not one parking spot, nothing. I mean, it's just so many people. Later, when I came home, I was just having a couple of drinks, and then the ABC TV had a live coverage of the Sydney Harbour fireworks at midnight, the famous one, and it was so terrible. Like, honestly, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. And I didn't watch it long. I just wanted to have a laugh because it's so bad every year, but this is the worst I've ever seen. ABC TV in Australia. Their live New Year's Eve 2022 coverage was appalling. Not only it was, honestly, it was so boring, I'd rather go and just stare at wallpaper. It was the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life, but the worst thing is that it was so woke. It had like a LGBTQ plus twist, and the best celebrity singer they could conjure up was this Casey Donovan or someone like that, one of those contestants on Australian Idol or something that won years ago when it first started and goes around singing in the RSLs. I mean, it really was so sad with these, of course you've got the woke hosts, anyone allowed to host the show that isn't white, you know, Indian and all of this, you know, and it was just, it was so bad. The entertainment was bad. It was just, you would think, you know, for people who don't go to see the Sydney fireworks, that there would be such a need for a good show on New Year's Eve with live entertainment and comedy and, you know, music and all of this with, you know, like done, actually done well. And then building up to the fireworks, you know, people might stay at home and watch that with their friends and, you know, but it, at least something half decent, but it was so terrible. Anyway, it was interesting looking at all the media themselves this morning because that coverage got branded as atrocious. They're pushing drag queens and poofters and LGBTQ stuff on there, and they're putting this whole woke twist into it. It was just shameful. I never watched it. I haven't even seen it yet, and I'm not interested. I'm just saying it was on because I was up doing some things, and it was just unbearable to watch. Apparently, people got stampeded in Sydney to get a viewing vantage point of the fireworks. You know, human beings will trample over the top of one another to watch crackers in the sky, you know, but they won't turn up to protect their freedoms and our lives, our country, you know. You won't see them there. That's why people fucking baffle me. I'm not some Scrooge. I'm not saying not to go to the fireworks. We took our little one just to have a look, you know. Yeah, you know, so I'm just saying, last night, just looking at the whole thing, it was so amazing what people put themselves through. I mean, imagine setting up a whole gazebo city with all the kids and babies as well from 5:36 in the morning and being there till 9 o'clock at night for 15 minutes. You should see the amount of food and chairs and tables and rubbish and stuff they had to pack up. And they're so drunk. It was just crazy, you know. It's a crazy thing to see. I mean, it is a beautiful thing to see the fireworks in the night sky and everything, especially on the coast with the water and everything. I get it. I'm just saying, it's pretty amazing to me. Screaming kids and everything. So we're smart about what we do. We just kind of park near there and just walk down, and it's for the little one, you know, it's for them to have a look and then go home, you know. I don't have anything to do with it. It's just really not my scene at all. But anyway, we've ticked over into 2023. Amazing. And another whole year ahead of more podcasting and things. I've been captain of the ship here, sort of towards the end of last year and into the first week here until some of the guests make a return and we continue our conversations. I'm sure there'll be new guests coming in the year, and if anyone wants to come on, always things to talk about. And I've been here. I've been here on the Night Ghost Ship, the Night Watch podcast, you know, keeping the lighthouse going up on the dark cliff face, and I'm just keeping the conversation rolling for the Kraz Files members. If you're on the website, you'll see the blue members there in the bar there, and you can drop that down. Everything for the members that they would really need is in that drop-down menu now and in the members area and partially on the main website. These podcasts are on the main website and also in the members area, and there's other stuff coming and other content in there to have a look at. And there's a chat room thanks to the guys who have been so active in the chat room there. I know some of those guys don't go on any kind of social media and enjoy that there's that area there. That's why I put it up. We're also over on Telegram, the Crass Files chat, which is a smallish sort of group and going well, and a lot of info been going up there. But if you don't want to go on any of that, there's the Crass members chat inside the members area. Just log in there as a guest user, if you will, and chat away and leave any links and have a look at all the great information. But thanks to those guys for putting up all that info in there. Really, is amazing. What an incredible ride it's been. In 2022, it's gone fast, hasn't it? A few little things to look at anyway tonight. I'm just having a cold beer. I hope you guys are as well and enjoying. I don't really know what awaits us this year. To be honest, I've got a lot of clues and I'm tying a lot of things together. That's why I try to do the podcast so frequently, to just keep a handle on everything and watch everything like a hawk and keep the conversation rolling. It is just so important, awareness, as I always say. It really is awareness. It forms that whole natural law thing, and we are a part of natural law. And hey, if you're a member here and you listen to all the podcasts and the Night Watch ones, and you're one of the unjabbed people and you didn't wear the masks, and you're still kicking along, shout yourself a cold beer. I tell you, you've done an incredible job, as we all have. I don't know if I have members here or overseas who have had some of the jabs because of their job. Let us know. Let us know what's going on and what your feelings are. I always open the, in the members area, there's a Crass opinion, which I'm going to be putting more up to. Yeah, please feel very free to submit articles to the Crass opinion, and I can also put them out there if you wish, about anything you want to, or if you're just happy logging on and listening and everything, that's cool as well. If you want to jump on any podcasts or Night Watch podcasts, give me a shout as well, or if you would like me to try and contact anyone for a chat, let me know as well. As we move forward in incredible times, it seems very intensely towards the end of 2022 that the entire COVID-19 narrative is falling to pieces, but we are still here. Countries now are locking out Chinese tourists, and now China's got this massive surge of COVID-19 cases, which isn't real. They're probably just jab injuries. And so, as Jason says, we're still here. They're still carrying it into 2023, and we actually have Chinese tourists being restricted or locked out of certain countries now. So the lockdowns, the lockouts and COVID restrictions and things, it's all still there, folks. It hasn't gone away, and it's continued into this year. They're still going about variants and all of this. It's amazing. The same common theme of last year and the year before has flowed into 2023. And they're just going to, what other card can they play, really? What are they going to do? But, you know, the whole narrative is falling to pieces and unraveling, and it's a mess. You wonder what their plans are, eh, for this year. But we hold the line, we stay true, we stick to natural law. We stay awake and aware and alert. We keep our faith, and we just keep moving forward just like we've always done, no matter what these criminal tyrant parasites do. We keep up the fight. An interesting post that popped up today. It's from the end of last year, This is another TV kind of fitness celebrity that I was looking at. And I bring this up because he lives right near me. And I say hi to him quite a lot. I'm not friends with him. He doesn't know my name or anything. I just see him around with his boys. And he's a nice chap and always says hi to you and running around everywhere. This is a guy called Shannon Ponton. I guess people, listeners in Australia will know Shannon Ponton, and if for those overseas members, he's a fitness kind of trainer, and he was made famous through a TV show called The Biggest Loser. This was a TV show where huge overweight people go on to lose weight, and they put them through all these drills and stuff. It's full on. It's a show called The Biggest Loser. It used to be very popular and famous on TV, and he was one of the trainers and hosts. He's been on a bunch of TV shows and things recently too. And he's, you know, his whole life is really in the fitness and industry. He's a personal trainer. I mean, I'm on his Facebook page now. He's got nearly 60,000 followers. And he's on TV a lot, and he lives just up the road from me with his family, and I see him going around on the electric scooter and stuff with his kids all the time. Nice enough guy. Anyway, he's come out with a COVID shot injury after Dr. Karen Phelps did, someone put this up on Telegram. I just wanted to confirm, but it is Shannon Ponton. He says just here that, so glad to hear Dr. Phelps speak her truth. Anyone who knows me will understand I'm the furthest thing from being an anti-vaxxer. I'll come back to that. I can only relate my own story. To avoid catching COVID, he said, over the Christmas break, I guess because they're all panicking and they're going on holidays with their families, and I know people like this as well, they're so worried about catching COVID, even though they've had so many shots, they're getting more. It's really insane. And they're worried that they're going to catch COVID and their holiday's going to be ruined. COVID really controls these people's lives and their families' lives and what they do and don't do and where they go. It's really incredible, you know. He said, anyway, I opted for a fourth vax. Four. I think this guy's around 40. I've known him, not known him personally, but I've seen him around taking his kids to the local school for years now. Very fit guy. All the ladies definitely look at him. He has tattoos and very fit, muscly kind of guy. As I said, his life revolves around training and fitness and everything. I've seen him down the parks in the day one-on-one with people who pay him, and they're doing personal fitness training. So, he does make a good living. Anyway, he said he's opted for a fourth vax. Four. God, man. The new Moderna. I guess that's cool, isn't it? Getting the new Moderna. That will work. He said within a few hours he had heart palpitations and breathlessness, which continued for 2 days. He said, I returned to the clinic for ECG and bloods, and the palpitations continued for another 7 days. I was fitted with a 24-hour Holter monitor. It showed I had an ectopic heart. Nothing serious explained, my doctor. He says he couldn't walk up a... He said I couldn't walk up a set of stairs without becoming breathless, let alone train. Now, this is a really fit guy, I'm telling you, man. This is a guy, as I said, who whose whole life is in the fitness industry and being fit himself and training. Now he's saying that he can't even walk up a set of stairs. He says, to add injury to insult, after a Christmas party at the local pub, I caught COVID. 3 weeks after the fourth vax, not only did it offer me no protection to COVID, when it should have been at its highest level of protection, I'm still fighting the ongoing effects to my heart. This is just my personal experience, so no hearsay, no urban myths, no agenda. very interesting, eh? Anyway, that is Shannon Ponton, another pretty high-profile kind of celebrity guy, but this guy's in the fitness industry. Looking at what he's saying, I don't know, there's no other posts, no other posts there, but boy, he would want to hope that, he would want to hope now that, you know, this gets sorted out, because it's his life. Not just in the physical fitness industry, but himself being at optimum fitness, you know. And so is this? Yeah, looks to me like he's in big trouble. Interesting here, because this guy, as I said, I've seen him and said hi to him heaps of times. Seems like a nice lad. Fit guy, you know. But this guy has rocks for brains. He really does. This guy, he says here at the start, anyone who knows me will understand I'm the furthest thing from being an anti-vaxxer. So here he is, after getting a fourth shot, having breathlessness and heart palpitations and having to go for blood scans and tests and not even being able to walk up a set of stairs, and this is now ongoing. It looks like he could have permanent heart damage, which is going to destroy his career. It's going to destroy not only his health and his business, but he's got kids. I've seen them. He's got really cute boys and wife, and they look like they got some expensive toys as well. Every time I see her, she's got a brand new van, you know, expensive cars and all sorts of things. So, and, you know, he does this for a living. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. Usually, if anything serious happens, they kind of fade off and they just take it, you know. But here he is, you know, after getting a fourth dose of this stuff, and now having totally compromised health through his heart, and it looks to me like this is permanent damage. So I don't, as I said, I don't know what's going to happen to him. He starts his post here by saying, "I'm not an anti-vaxxer." Like being an anti-vaxxer is bad, even though he just took a bullet for the pharmaceutical industry. You know, this guy's just lined up and taken a bullet straight to the chest, courtesy of his unseen pals in the multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical industry who are killing people for fun. And he's taken a bullet directly to the chest. But he's saying, don't worry about that, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, being an anti-vaxxer is just the most terrible thing in the world. And this is, unfortunately, the brainwashing that these people are under. And I know this is true because I've got neighbours like that. I know people like that. They just think anti-vaxxers are vile, disgusting, terrible criminals. Believe me, I've spoken to them. Because this is what Koshy says on Sunrise, and this is what Karl Stefanovic says, and this is what the projects say, and this is what the Murdoch media tell them in Australia. And these people, as I've said, are unable, totally incapable of thinking for themselves, or even attempting to form one of their own opinions. Everything is done for them via the Australian mainstream media. That's who forms their opinions. That's who controls their mindsets and their lives and everything in it. they're complete slaves to the Australian mainstream media and governmental system. And he's really sad, because he does seem like a nice guy, although I don't know him personally at all. Just a hi, how you going, mate, here and there, because I've seen him on TV, and I was like, oh, that guy lives here. You know what I mean? And but here he is, probably, I mean, if he has permanent heart damage, and, I mean, even if he does get a little bit better, how's he going to continue training? And because this is a kind of a guy who relies on his body and that image to make money, a living. You know what I mean? I mean, the whole thing here could be down the tubes. Because of these jabs, so, you know, they could very well ruin his life. But here he is saying, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, so don't worry, it's amazing, isn't it? But don't worry, mate, because now that you've come out with, let's have a look here again, 56 and something thousand followers on Facebook alone, and you've said something about your injury, your pals in the mainstream media are now going to label you an anti-vaxxer anyway, whether you deny it or not. Because labeling people anti-vaxxers is the way that the media cover over for the initial vaccine damage and injuries and deaths. See, it doesn't matter how bad someone copped it. Someone like this guy who could get 1, 2, 3, 4 shots and completely be on side of the government and the media system and the pharmaceutical corporations and just love the COVID jabs and tell everyone to get them and give them to his kids and everything. One of those jabs, as we said, it's like a Russian roulette, and that's what we spoke about. You get one, any more than one, you're starting to look at big trouble here. And, you know, people who are getting 3 and 4, boy, I mean, look at Shane Warne, he got 3. Shane Warne, the cricket player, got 3 and hemorrhaged to death. You know, this guy's had 3 and he's been going about his business and he's decided to go down and get a 4th because he doesn't want to catch something that doesn't exist for his Christmas break. And now he's copped a serious injury that looks like that could be permanent. If he can't walk upstairs and he's having heart palpitations, the doctors are telling him, don't worry, it's all good. But this guy's come out on his page of, you know, nearly 60,000 followers, and he's it's been shared around, so it's going to make it out there. So I guess we'll see how this goes. We do know that the media are labeling just general people terrorists who don't want the jabs, but some of the celebrities, they don't seem to be saying anything, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But yeah, that's very interesting, isn't it? To cop a blow like that, this is a pretty young guy with a young family and young boys, to come out and say, don't worry, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, after copping a hell of a blow. I mean, if you're going to be, anything's going to turn you into an anti-vaxxer, it should be something like this, but he's still saying, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, even if his head explodes. Because there's nothing worse in the world than being labelled an anti-vaxxer. So these celebrity people would rather take a bullet to the head and have their lives destroyed and even die, than be labelled an anti-vaxxer, because that's just the worst thing in the world. And that is something that I've discussed here for years, how the mainstream media, or the Rupert Murdoch media in this country, through the Herald Sun and the Courier Mail and the Daily Telegraph and all their shit papers, how they've weaponized overdose, and I'm talking on steroids, they have weaponized the term anti-vaxxer to turn anybody who's labeled with that term, you know, anti-vaxxer, to turn that person into an absolute disgusting, vile human being and a terrorist. And they've managed to do that with the mindset of the Australian people, because their minds have been moulded to think like this. And it hasn't just been overnight, it's been years and years and years, ever since No Jab. You know, I was following this before I even started here, I think around 2013. And the thing is, we used to do podcasts here talking about how they're going to come up with something to vaccinate adults. People like, how are they going to make adults get vaccinated? Like, that's just not possible. We were talking about this years ago, I think back before 2015. And they did with COVID. But the mainstream media in Australia, all of them, have been weaponizing this term anti-vaxxer for so many years now that it's just become this, if you get labeled an anti-vaxxer, it doesn't matter what happened to you. And it doesn't matter if you're not an anti-vaxxer like this guy. You could just be some person out there who got one of the jabs and it's destroyed your life or it's or whatever it is and your health. And now you're saying something about it to the public and trying to get your voice heard. And now you're an anti-vaxxer. And that's the thing. Because all the media are going to do, even if they do print a story about your ill health from the jabs, they just need to put anti-vaxxer in there somewhere, and most Joe Blows reading the paper go, their minds are made up, you see. You're a terrible person. And so that's really unbelievable what he said there. And again here, he has, he wants to avoid catching COVID over the Christmas break, so he's opted for a fourth jab. But he's already had three, right? He's already had three jabs, but he doesn't want to get COVID over the Christmas break in the middle of summer here in Australia. I mean, it's sweaty hot today. And so he opted for a fourth jab and had an immediate heart palpitations and breathlessness. Okay, and now he's here, he's complaining that at a Christmas party, while he can't even walk upstairs at the local pub, he caught COVID again, 3 weeks after he got the fourth jab. So here he is getting one, two, three jabs, and then worried that he's going to catch COVID for Christmas, so he gets a fourth one, so he doesn't have any faith in the three that he got. And now he's complaining that after he got the fourth, he didn't have any protection from COVID, when he should have had the highest level of protection. How come you didn't have the highest level of protection from one, two, and three, mate? So none of that makes any sense whatsoever. He had one, he had two, he had three, but he didn't have any faith in it, and he was worried he was going to get sick anyway, so he had four, but he got sick. He thinks he got COVID, now he's saying that they don't work. And now here at the bottom, he's saying that the ongoing effects to his heart, he's still fighting the ongoing effects to his heart, so he's done. I mean, I would highly assume right now that this guy's done. I mean, not once, not twice, not three times, well, four times it took to ruin this guy's life, for him to go in and have his life ruined by these needles, and he has done that, and he thinks that he got COVID, which doesn't exist. So these people who are celebrities, they've got 60,000 followers on Facebook alone, they really have shit for brains, they really do, and I find it fucking astonishing. Doesn't bother me. I'm just going over this case because this is another high-profile case in this country that we're hearing right at the end of last year. And as I said, it's only going to intensify and there's going to be more and more and more. Believe me. So it's going to be interesting times this year, isn't it? 2023. There you go, Shannon Ponton. Looks like his heart's gone, mate. And this guy, Ponton, he's heavily involved in the fitness and sports movement. I mean, wouldn't he know? Wouldn't this guy, even if he did a tiny fraction of research or even was a little bit aware, wouldn't he see what happened to people like Shane Warne? Wouldn't he see what's happening to people? wouldn't he see what's happening to sports stars? Cricket is everywhere. The videos we were playing with all these sporting codes all having heart injuries. I mean, wouldn't he know? It's like a bunch of cows munching away in the sunshine for the summer in the field. And then, you know, the rancher comes out and they get led on a truck and then they get taken to be made into mincemeat, you know. And the cows are going up in to be slaughtered and they see one going through the mincer. I mean, you're going to want to get out of there. But how can these people not know? How can they take one, two, three, four, and then have their, pretty much like this guy, looks like his life's ruined. I mean, and not get it. I mean, maybe, did it take four punches? Four big blows for him to finally see that this stuff is dangerous and it's going to ruin your life or probably kill you? It's just amazes me. Where is the instinct gone of these people? These muscly, you know, tattooed, Mr. Wonderful, you know, guys that are making a killing out there in the world and so much money, and all the women lusting after them with their tongues out. Where's the common sense? Where's the gut instinct? Wasn't this guy on one of those military type shows where they take them out and they've got to survive these brutal elements and things like that? He's a super, super fit guy. You can see he does boxing and everything. He looks after himself. I mean, this is a strong, fit guy, you know, in the prime of his life. I mean, wouldn't he? He's got these beautiful kids. He's got a pretty young family. They live around the neighborhood. Everyone knows them. I mean, he really is this Mr. Wonderful guy. I mean, wouldn't he have any fucking common sense whatsoever? I mean, he makes a big living off his body and off the fitness industry and being fit. I mean, this is crazy. I'm an average Joe Blow down here on the ground and I know not to get him. How can this guy? I mean, wouldn't you think that these guys who are so super fit and so training all the time and so in the fitness industry and into sports and showing off their bodies and, I mean, you never see him outside. You never see him in a t-shirt. He's always in singlets to show his biceps and his arms and his strong guy, you know, around. He's always in these tight little things. I mean, don't these people have 1 ounce of common sense not to do this? I mean, why would a person like this, who relies on looking good and fit and being in the fitness industry to make a living and have a big home and everything and a good lifestyle, why would he go in not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 4 times to potentially not only poison himself for life, but even kill himself? Why would you do that when I'm just a guy here talking and I know not to? I mean, what the hell? Where is the common sense of these people? It's really gone out the window. To get one shot is enough. But to get four? And now because he's sick, he thinks he's got COVID and the vaccines didn't protect him? That's just absolutely crazy. It's going to be interesting to watch that, to see if he says anything more, if he comes out and says anything. He's quite high profile, but that's another one. That's another one. This was an interesting one you probably heard. I think I've got the video. Yeah, got it here. Hopefully that loads. Yeah. This is the WHO dummy. Tedros. Did you hear him talking about killing the kids? If you didn't hear the video, I'll play it for you now. Red Ice put it up. put it up on their channel last night on Telegram, so I had to grab it. You guys have probably heard it, but it's worth playing again. Unbelievable.
With elderly groups, senior citizens, especially above 65 and above 60. So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right. Then the equity issue comes here. Instead of boosting a child in high-income countries, it's better to vaccinate the elderly in countries who have the elders who have not been vaccinated, even the primary vaccines. So the equity issue should also come into.
There you go. There's the WHO, World Health Organization Director Tedros. He's the Ethiopian director of the World Health Organization, basically openly saying there that the vaccines are for elderly people and they're for people who are sick and dying anyway, or have compromised immune systems or whatever, or already ongoing health problems. They're the ones we want to get rid of and kill off. But, you know, in developing countries, it's they're giving boosters to kids to kill them, basically. So unbelievable. Anyway, this popped up from Natural News today. WHO director walks back his statement that some countries are using COVID-19 vaccine boosters to kill children. Tedros, who's the Ethiopian microbiologist and actor and director of the World Health Organization, was recently captured on video saying that some countries are using COVID-19 boosters to kill children. I just played it. This is the most honest thing that has ever come out of Tedros's mouth. World leaders repeatedly refused to acknowledge the data on hospitalizations and sudden cardiac deaths in the fully vaccinated and boosted, and sadly the WHO walked back Tedros' statements, and fact-checkers now claim that his statement was a slip of the tongue. Remember General Fruin in Australia? His slip of the tongue as well? That basically nothing's going to prepare you for what these things are going to do to you. This was the military general that ScoMo brought in under Operation COVID Shield. Remember we played that video and it was supposed to be a slip of the tongue? He basically says that, that you get these jabs, nothing's going to prepare you for the punishment you're going to get. Anyway, on November the 15th, Instagram post includes a video of Tedros speaking to the press. In the video, he says, so if it's going to be used, the COVID-19 jab, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death. So we want to get rid of them, rather than seeing some countries are using to give boosters to kill children. When USA Today reporters followed up with Tedros, a spokesperson for the WHO claimed that Tedros misspoke during the press conference. these people don't misspeak. Okay, a Reuters fact checker set the record straight. Of course, a video showing the head of the World Health Organization, Tedros, speaking about prioritizing vaccination efforts for a poorer countries and more vulnerable populations over giving booster shots to children has been misconstrued online. They're saying, don't worry, it's just a slip of the tongue. The official transcript omitted the word kill because Tedros was allegedly trying to pronounce the first syllable of children, but it came out as kill. The WHO spokesperson said that Tedros misspoke and corrected himself by promptly saying children, because Tedros, the World Health Organization director, children to him mean kill. WHO continues to lie to the world about childhood injuries and deaths from the COVID jabs as well, so they're covering that up. According to the official transcript, Tedros does not agree that the boosters are killing children, so if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe diseases and death rather than As we see in some countries are using to give boosters to kill the children, the word kill was omitted. But this walk back doesn't take away from the fact that the vaccines are injuring and killing children anyway, outright, all over the world. And sad, sad stories there about children being killed and paralyzed by these jabs. But talk about demons, huh? Talk about demons. This is one I will try to post if I can. The Vigilant Fox, long one, can't go through it all, but came up today on Telegram or somewhere. Criminal malfeasance. Pfizer knew 275 people suffered serious strokes in the first 90 days after the jab rollout. Officially, originally published in Daily Clout. 75 years, that's how long Pfizer and the FDA tried to hide the Pfizer documents from public view, long after just about everyone affected is dead. It wasn't until renowned attorney Aaron Siri led a FOIA case against FDA that a federal judge ordered the documents to be released in 108 days, the same amount of time it took the FDA to approve the COVID-19 injections. With the Pfizer documents, is document 5.3.6, post-marketing experience. A cumulative analysis of adverse events reporting occurring in the 90 days after the public rollout of the COVID-19 mRNA injection. And within that report, 275 people suffered a stroke suspected to be attributed to the vaccine between days 1 to 41. 50% of these occurred within the first 48 hours. After the injection, it's important to note that strokes are life-altering events which occur when the blood supply to part of the brain is interrupted or reduced, preventing brain tissue from getting oxygen and nutrients. Brain cells begin to die in minutes. It's medical emergency and prompt treatment is critical. Many stroke survivors experience paralysis on one side of the body, and the inability to move a specific part of the body. Some stroke survivors may experience trouble using or understanding language. Sadly, all 300 stroke adverse events reports affecting 275 different patients within Pfizer documents, 536 were classified as serious. 1 in 5, 61 of the 300 strokes was fatal. 32% did not resolve. 28% had an unknown outcome. And 3 suffered very rare deep brain clots. There you go. And I mean, these drug companies are not even criminal, are they? My God. Couple left that I saved that I just found interesting this morning. This was an interesting one that's come up a couple of times from Jordan Sachetel activist post, I think. WEF to accelerate push for metaverse surveillance network at Davos 2023. During its 2023 Davos conference, the World Economic Forum will host a press conference on its Building the Metaverse initiative and release key studies and details about its efforts to further facilitate what appears to amount to a global surveillance network, according to documents reviewed by the dossier. The Metaverse, a buzzworthy bumper sticker slogan that refers to a whole host of ideas in technology and space, the technologies space has potential current and future applications both for private and governmental entities. It will be featured as one of the core staples of the 23 Davos conference. Again, these wankers are all going to go and fly over in these jets to Davos and wank off in front of everybody and eat their lavish dinners and talk about this shit. Because that's what it is, it's shit. None of it's needed and none of it matters. It's not part of our lives, and it's not part of natural law, and it's just old dystopian sci-fi novel crap. Anyway, there's if you're interested, there's a about the metaverse. There's a book by Neil Stephenson, done in 1992, a novel called Snow Crash, in which citizens use digital avatars as a means to escape their dystopian reality. Today, it can be defined as a vision of what many of the computer industry believe is the next iteration of the internet, a single shared, immersive, persistent 3G virtual space where humans experience life in ways they could not in the physical world. Before its expanded definition, the metaverse encompassed a technologically advanced virtual and augmented reality space. To entrepreneurs and technology companies, this computer world can serve as a potential revenue and data harvesting stream for the committed forces of technocratic tyranny. The metaverse can act as a global surveillance network that can keep tabs on anyone with an internet connection. A metaverse adopting society can make it much easier for ruling governments to track the movement's behaviors and activities, of course, of its citizens. Great, the WEF. Even having a metaverse press conference. The press conference will announce the first and long-awaited, I'm not waiting for it, outputs, they can shove it up their ass, outputs of the defining, I want to go back to nature, I want to go back and live simply, and that's what I've been doing, stripping things away and just enjoying life again and trying to live more simply and having the bare basics, eating simply, enjoying the good things. I don't want this shit, they can shove it up their rectums as far as their fists can shove it. So this is not eagerly awaited for on my part, at all. I'm not waiting for this press conference. This is not long awaited for me. Building the Metaverse initiative, and didn't Zuckerberg's Metaverse thing on Facebook fail? Don't worry, it's highly anticipated. Briefing papers. I guess in the Metaverse from the governance track of the project. Anyway, not interesting. The WEF will also host an event at Davos. Here we go. They're going to host another event at Davos 2023 titled Deployment in the Industrial Metaverse. Panelists, which means a bunch of wankers, we'll discuss how the next era of the internet is fast approaching in the form of the metaverse, an immersive digital world. In the industrial metaverse, unique opportunities will arise from the convergence of artificial intelligence, digital twins, data and robotic technologies, and the readout continues. Another book here, if you're interested, by Derek Broze, that's Broze, is How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. See if I can dig into some of these to chat with these folks, because this is where they're going, obviously, and it's been a common theme of this podcast since mostly looking at last year anyway. Obviously, this is their next wet dream. The dossier reviewed a list of the partners of the World Economic Forum Metaverse Initiative. They include corporate actors like Meta, that's Facebook, of course, Microsoft, what a shock, Walmart, what a shock, Sony. Notably, the list includes major financial services and banking enterprises such as MasterCard, of course, Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan and Lloyds. And keep in mind, as we'll put up on Telegram, the Jewish Wall Street bankers are funding the hardcore pornography industry and content with mostly young white girls who look 15 years old getting raped, gang raped by niggers on camera. And it's thanks Pornhub, that's great. Things really take a dark turn when moving down to state and global governance partners to the WEF's Metaverse Initiative. These partners include Interpol, the United Nations Counter-Terrorism Office, that's great, isn't it? The US NIH's National Human Genome Research Institute, several additional countries' information and communications ministries. Defining and building the Metaverse. I would call it not the Metaverse, I would call it the Wankerverse, because that's what they are. The WEF looks to the Chinese Communist Party as the model nation for proper governance. Of course they do. See, what we're going to see is China step out here as a real global leader, on the back of all the Russia stuff as well. The CCP's nationwide surveillance regime, through its great firewall and other components, could very well become the standard for metaverse governance. This is crazy. Earlier this month, they're going to have a new government in the metaverse, are they? Earlier this month, the WEF published an article titled "Why We Need to Regulate Digital Identity in the Metaverse," revealing that Davos indeed sought a heavy-handed top-down approach. So the thing is, these Davos people, they're just such wankers. They're wanking too much and they're not thinking clearly. Who the hell is going to put up with this? Who the hell is going to put up with this? All the people on planet Earth are just going to go into this metaverse with new governments and everything like that? It's just fucking stupid. What's wrong with these people? I mean, are they that mentally ill? And this clown character, Klaus Schwab, why doesn't someone just shoot him in the fucking head? You know, how are these people allowed to just continue walking around the way that they are? It doesn't make any sense. The metaverse will influence the way people, governments, companies and society at large think, work, interact and communicate for the purpose of collectively addressing issues on the global agenda. Isn't that wonderful? This is so stupid. Who's going to... I mean, I guess, I don't know, but then, you know, look at where I started the podcast tonight. You have, muscly celebrities going in for false jabs and having their lives ruined and nearly having a heart attack and saying, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I mean, if you look at where I started the podcast tonight and then I ask or I present that question to you, who's going to do the metaverse thing? Well, what do you reckon? Oh my goodness me. Didn't save too much today, folks. I've just got one more here from the Gateway Pundit that was making the rounds. I'm just changing the subject. It just shows you where they're going. Anyway, this one was Scotland police face backlash after report renaming pedophiles as minor attracted people. The Scottish police have been chastised for a report that uses the term minor attracted people instead of using pedophiles, raising concerns that it would normalise child abuse. Well, that's what they're trying to do. In the year-end report by Chief Constable Leon Livingston on child abuse and exploitation, he stated the project's main agenda is to develop understanding and approach to avoid the victimization of children by engaging minor attracted people, MAPs, and providing them with the necessary support, treatment and guidance to help prevent criminal activities. The police defended its action by claiming that the wording used in the annual report was modelled after European Union's terminology. My God. The Scottish Daily reported the term MAP is contentious because child abusers are trying to escape the stigma attached to pedophilia and maintain they should be regarded as a niche group alongside the LGBTQ community. That's what some of these pedo perverts in Australia are trying to do, make pedophiles just part of the LGBTQ plus community, and that you can't label them to be, you know, anything, because that's discrimination. Wow. That's what they're trying to do, eh? A Scottish Conservative spokesman said most Scots will find any attempt to soften the language around pedophiles in a official guidance to be deeply disturbing and wrong. Offences relating to pedophilia are among the most appalling and unforgivable crimes anyone can commit, and it's essential that Police Scotland guidance reflect this. The MAPS propaganda drive has been compared to the Pedophile Information Exchange campaign of the 70s and 80s, which backed on the gay liberation movement to push for pro-child abuse policies such as lowering the age of consent to just 4. Well, this is what they want to do, and that's what I was talking about tonight, you know. Being here in Australia, say, for example, last night, and you want to see the fireworks go off and have some champagne at home, and you turn on ABC TV Australia, it's a poofter show. It's a poofter LGBTQ queer theme show, and they got these poofs parading around up there, and these big fat lesbian singers carrying on, and all this over sexualized queer stuff going on. It's like, what does this have to do with the Sydney Harbour fireworks, you know? I'm surprised the fireworks didn't go off in the rainbow gay colours. Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it? So this is happening right now in Scotland. And this is what the system has been trying to do. They want to rename pedophiles who rape and molest children and babies. They want to call them minor attracted people. They've been wanting to do this for ages. They want this mainstream as well. Believe me. It's a very, very dark and twisted and sick system. And that's an unbelievable one. Absolutely incredible. Just finish on this one as well. These are just the ones that I saved today, and they're always going to be a mix-up of things, because I was talking about the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau the other night. How he's having a nice holiday in Jamaica. And I'm sure he's having his lavish dinners and spending lots of taxpayers' money and getting his dick pulled, you know, by a male masseuse. I put up a video of him as well. How Canadians, a Canadian... Did you see the article up on Crass Files? There's an article up there about how a person came forward who run like soup kitchens basically for poor Canadians now who have had everything taken from them. They're lining up to be fed and get a cot for the night, and she was saying it's just absolutely horrifying how many people want to kill themselves through Justin Trudeau's new laws looking at the euthanasia. how you can now apply to have the state kill you, and it's going to be much more easier now. And anyway, there was a mainstream media setup. If you watch the video, there's a mainstream media lady, you know, like a 60 Minutes type thing, where they're interviewing Justin. And it looks like some kind of backdrop. The backdrop looks like some kind of Christmas movie, you know, Home Alone or something like that. It's like a Christmas themed setting with the trees and the snow and people walking around and Christmas puddings and stuff. And they're asking Justin just all the right questions with a little bit of a tinge on there to make it look like, you know, they're putting on a little bit of a harder edge. And it was just, I was talking about this to a friend the other day, you know, isn't it amazing how this guy handpicks his press? He doesn't want to talk to anybody else, just like in New Zealand and everywhere you look at. They've got their own press, the mainstream media, which is a propaganda arm of the government itself, and the people keep supporting it. And so this is all perfectly set up. It really is like a Hollywood movie script set up. You just can't believe it. They got the director in the chair and they got this woman, and she's asking Justin all the right questions. And he's telling her how much he cares about Canadian people and what his government are doing and everything like that. And it's snowing in the background. There's Santa's things and as I said, Christmas puddings and people buying Christmas trees in the background, like some kind of weird movie set. Meanwhile, people are wanting to kill themselves after lining up for soup. So line up for soup and a piece of bread and then go and line up to be killed by the state while Justin takes a holiday in Jamaica. Anyway, according to this True North post, True North News, over half of Canadians want Trudeau to step down in 2023. The majority of Canadians want Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to take a walk in the snow in the new year, according to a new Ipsos poll. The poll found that 54% of Canadians believe Trudeau should step down as Liberal leader and that Canada should have a new Prime Minister. In April 23, Trudeau will have been Prime Minister for 8 years, serving as Liberal Party of Canada leader for a decade. Well, he just voted him. Well, he didn't vote himself in. He was placed back into power by his buddies overseas. And Klaus Schwab. I mean, they put him back in. It wasn't up to the people. Canadians across all provinces held the belief that 2023 should be Trudeau's final year as Prime Minister, but he got put back in there anyway, with Quebec as the exception, Alberta 65%, Atlantic Canada 57%, Saskatchewan and Manitoba 56%, Ontario 56%, and British Columbia 54%, and Quebec 43%. They love him there. Despite the widely held belief of Canadians, the poll found that just 27% of Canadians believe Trudeau will actually step down. Well, he's not going anywhere. The Ipsos poll was conducted between December 14th and 16th, 22. And this was on behalf of Global News. This is the weird news outlet that I was talking about that interviewed Justin Trudeau, Global News, with this dragon lady up there with the snow-themed Christmas movie setting behind him. It's Global News. They're serious. They're just hand-picked to ask Justin all the right questions. With a rumoured general election in the new year, Trudeau has indicated that he will stay on as Liberal leader to take on Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. In recent weeks, the Trudeau government's multiple ethics violations have regained the spotlight after it was revealed that International Trade Minister Mary Nigg awarded a close friend a government contract for media training. It's just like Daniel Andrews, isn't it? In response, on the heels of the government's six ethics breach, Trudeau told CTV News that it sucks when members of his government violate ethics laws. Trudeau said that the fact that the public knows about the scandals means the system is working. Anyway, he's not going anywhere because he's placed into that position by the powers that be. The only way for Canadians to remove him is everybody gets together and they physically get him by his fucking head and throw him in the street, but that's not going to happen. We're not there yet. And not really many countries are there yet. Going back anyway, finishing up the Night Watch podcast tonight. From mainstream media, Yahoo News in Australia, just to show you that we're still here. Grim China prediction as Australia backflips on traveller controls. Fears continue to grow that the explosion of COVID-19 cases in China could spawn a new sub-variant of concern, with experts warning the country's intense secrecy around its current outbreak could make it harder for other nations to react. After resisting it for days, the Australian government announced on Sunday it will introduce new controls on Chinese travellers, requiring them to take a mandatory COVID test before boarding a flight down under. Australia has joined the United States, England, Italy, South Korea, Japan, India and Taiwan to enforce the new measures. From January 5, passengers from China will need to take a test within 48 hours before travel and show evidence of negative result, Health Minister Mark Butler has announced. He cited the lack of comprehensive information Beijing was providing to the international community. The decision to implement these temporary measures, and it's been 3 years now, has been made out of an abundance of caution, he says, taking into account the dynamic and evolving situation in China. It's very dynamic and evolving. Bullshit is dynamic and evolving, isn't it? Situation in China is the potential for new variants to emerge. It all made up in fantasy world in an environment of high transmission, Mr. Butler, the wanker and tosser, said. Anyway, in European Union, health chief officers have written to health ministers of 27 of the bloc's member countries, urging them to scale up genomic sequencing of infections and the monitoring of wastewater, including from airports, to detect any new variants from China. Health experts from across the globe are wanking themselves again, have called on China to be more transparent about the unfolding outbreak. So no need to read any more of that, but you can see the restrictions are being put back into place. So if they want to make up a new sub-variant, then what's stopping them from taking those restrictions from just Chinese people to making everybody get testing and everything again? Really interesting. As I said, I don't think they will go for the lockdowns anymore. But I have said this on previous podcasts, you know, what they want. We were talking about in the last podcast about the 20-minute zones and the cities, how they're cooking everybody into this new Agenda 2030 system. I have said that before. It is very possible that if they can't get this Agenda 2030 system detailed in the way that they want and through in the time frame that they have, it is possible that the system will lash out and go back to these kinds of weird things again. Who knows? And the whole thing is a crock of shit. The whole thing is an absolute crock of shit. There's no virus. There never was. The whole thing's made up. They're just covering for vax injuries now, getting ready for their next big pandemic, which is going to be the vaccine injured. And deaths from that related around those pricks in the arms, as I always said, the vaccines trigger the real pandemic, and it ain't got nothing to do with the virus. It's all about having this stuff put into people's bodies. But here they are. So as we say with Jason Woodforth all the time, we are still here in 2023, folks, because here they are bringing in restrictions for Chinese travellers all around the Western world now. So we're only a fraction away from them doing that for everybody, no matter where you're from or who you are, right? So, boy, talk about being still here, huh? This is unbelievable. This is incredible times. Unbelievable times for Sunday, the 1st of January 2023. Here we are, right back where we started. It's unbelievable. I break it down. Break it down, stay aware, stay ahead of the game, and don't let it affect you, because it is a game. We move forward, stay positive, take care. I'll be back again soon.